Welcome back. I'm Julie Glenn. This is Gulf Coast Live. When water in your home is a foot deep and you want nothing more than for everything to just get back to normal as fast as possible, it may be tempting not to do the due diligence of checking to make sure the contractor you've hired is really licensed. The extra step of verifying that license can easily be skipped, but that could end up costing you dearly. So says Sarasota County Deputy Building Official Guy McCauley. He's part of a task force that's done four sting operations over the past 3 years in Sarasota County. Just last month, Sting took down 9 unlicensed general contractors, some with prior felony convictions. Guy McCauley joins us now. Thanks for making the time to be with us.
Thank you for having me, Julie.
We are talking about the importance of getting a licensed general contractor, or if you're a handyman, the importance of getting that license. You can become part of the conversation, too, in a number of ways. You can call 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. You can find us on Facebook. We are at WGCU Public Media, or you can catch us on Twitter at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. You can also visit WGCUnews.org for more ways to get in touch. So, Guy McCauley with the Sarasota County Building Department, usually when I hear about a sting operation, I think drug dealers or some other kind of more sensational crime. But these operations you and the Sheriff's Department and other organizations do are different. You're targeting unlicensed contractors. How do you do that?
Well, we collaborate with the Sheriff's Office, the Florida Department of Financial Services Insurance Fraud Division, and the DBPR, which is the Department of Business and Professional Regulation. And then we find the unlicensed contractors' ads on Craigslist and other publications. We verify that those individuals are not licensed and are practicing contracting, and we then provide that information to the sheriff's office, and they go ahead and make the phone calls and set up the appointments for those individuals to come and give a various bids on different scopes of work on the house that we would rent for a period of time to conduct that sting operation.
So you rent a house and you invite these people in and say, hey, could you help me fix this window or this, move this duct work or whatever, and you want to have a project, and these people tell you, yeah, I can do that for you for this or whatever. Do they have to write down their bid, or is a verbal bid also considered misrepresentation?
It could be a verbal or a written bid. We've had both, and that's contracting either way.
That's contracting no matter what. And what if you just have a sign on your car? Is it legal to say that you can do handyman work if you don't have a license?
Advertising for work that would require a licensure and you're not a licensed individual, that's also contracting, and that's a violation as well.
So this is a partnership between a lot of organizations. They get a rental house, they bring in, they find these ads, bring the guys in, and then they say, yeah, I can do this for you for, you know, $500 or whatever. And then out come the sheriff's department officers saying you're under arrest for operating without a license.
That's correct.
So then they get arrested and their work truck gets towed?
Yes, they impound the vehicle, and that individual is transported into the sheriff's office where he's interviewed further.
So why is it important to take these kinds of proactive steps to get these people to stop operating without a license?
Well, it's a danger to the community and the citizens of not only Sarasota County, but adjoining counties as well. It's usually a poor qualifications for the unlicensed individual, poor quality of work, possible criminal background, and likelihood of being the victim of a scam.
So why do handyman service people operate without a license? Or is it hard to get a license?
Well, the state does have requirements that and qualifications that have to be met, and some individuals are not able to meet those qualifications.
Yeah, I looked online. You have to be able to pass a test, you have to have insurance, and then you have to also pass a criminal background check. You mentioned that 99% of the people that you busted in these kinds of stings are people who have prior records that might prevent them from getting a license. What kind of records are we talking about? What would prevent someone from getting a license?
Usually it's a felony criminal record, not so much a misdemeanor type crimes.
Okay, so you're looking, they would probably, well, this is the state that does that, but they would be looking at a felony conviction of some sort?
That's correct.
So according to the Florida Department of Professional and Business Regulation, to get a general contractor's license, you have to have liability insurance and workers' compensation insurance. If someone hires a handyman that doesn't have a license, and they are people who most likely don't have this kind of required insurance, what happens if a worker is injured on that homeowner's property?
Well, it's going to be possibly on the homeowner. I mean, most homeowner policies do not cover work that is done with an unlicensed person.
So then what happens then also if the contractor damages something while working? For example, they put a 2x4 through a window accidentally, but they don't have liability insurance. Does that expense of that repair end up falling to the homeowner usually?
That will fall upon the homeowner.
Either that or a battle with the unlicensed contractor to try to get him to pay for it.
That's correct.
Is it impossible to hold an unlicensed contractor accountable in those types of situations?
It usually is, because a lot of them don't have insurance, liability insurance, of course, for that type of work, and they might not have a corporation either on through the state, and you're not going to find them.
Yeah, or that, or they'll say, okay, yeah, I'll fix that when I get back from my lunch break, and just take off, and you never find them again.
Exactly.
Have you had instances when wholly unqualified people have gotten a job and completely fouled it up? Can you give me an example of something like that you've seen?
Yeah, that happens quite often, actually. You know, in Sarasota County, we have a lot of people that live half the year up north and half the year in the county here, and they contract with these individuals, and they're not in the area. They're in another state, and the unlicensed person has like free reign of the residence, and they don't know what's going on on a day-to-day basis.
They can pretty much do whatever they want. If you're just joining the show, we're talking about licensed versus unlicensed general contractors. We're talking with the Sarasota County Deputy Building Official, Guy McCauley. You can join the conversation, too, by calling 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. So what if a handyman service comes to bid on a job and they say right up front that they don't have a general contractor's license, but that they can do the work, and they offer to do it cheaper than anyone else? Is it illegal for them to do that work, even if they come out saying that they're not licensed?
It is illegal for them to do the work that would require a license, yes.
What kind of work does require a license? Does that vary from county to county?
Sometimes it does, but the basic is general contracting, electrical, plumbing, mechanical, you know, and then there's specialty contractors as well that require you to be licensed, but in other jurisdictions other than Sarasota County, you might need a license to do painting, to do tile work, you know, to do stucco, where that's not required here in Sarasota County.
So they need licenses to do those specific things. What if someone has a certified builder's license? Is that good enough, or is that different somehow from a general contractor?
Yeah, a residential license. There's three types of state licenses and county licenses that we issue. It's a residential, building, and general. The residential license is pretty much, that's all you can do, residential up to three-story. It's one and two-family dwellings. And on a builder's license, you can do up to four-story commercial. And then general, it's you can do any of that work.
So if you have a home project and you get someone that comes to you and you look them up and they don't have a general contractor's license, but they do have a certified builder's license, that's okay?
As long as you're not in a high-rise condo, that would be good.
Okay. So are there other licenses that can take the place of a general contractor's license? Say somebody's just licensed for plumbing and you want to swap out a toilet. Is just having the one guy that's licensed for plumbing okay?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay, so
that would be in that field, yes.
So if you're hiring someone and you don't know anything about any of this, what do you do? How do you find what license they have to do the work they're going to do?
Well, there's You could check through the DBPR on myfloridalicense.com, or you can also check with the county at our licensing department, and that's licensing@scgov.net or 861-5214.
And so these are all you can check with your county offices?
That's correct.
Okay. We have a call coming in from Amy in Naples who has a question for us. Amy, what would you like to ask?
Well, it's not a question. It's a comment. I can tell you why people are hiring unlicensed handymen and contractors. I make $24,000 a year. My neighbors are on fixed income. They don't get much more. We're homeowners. If we call a contractor, say, to have a window replaced, we get a quote of $1,000 for one window. These contractors want to work on million-dollar homes. They don't want to work on a $200,000 home or a $250,000 home. I need four windows replaced. That would be 20% of my income for the year to get four windows replaced. Now, let's be realistic. That's just not affordable. And that's why people hire somebody by the price. They'll hire someone that will charge them what they think they can afford to pay. I can't hire someone who's working on $3 million houses because they are not going, they want a $3 million price.
Okay, I see your point. And Amy, I'm going to get an answer for you off the air. So listen to us on the air. But that's a good question. What do you do if you're someone that's on a fixed income then and somebody comes to you with a lower price and you can't afford a more a general contractor that has his licensing in place? What would you say to someone who says that they want to get the job done and they can't afford what a contractor is going to charge?
Well, if it's a homeowner, property owner, they can obtain the permit themselves to change out that window or door and do the work themselves. That would be one way to do it. You know, there is a overhead involved with a licensed person versus a non-licensed person, such as their license, insurance, employees, maybe, you know. And one thing with licensed individuals, they have to be tested. They have to meet certain qualifications. So with a handyman, you really don't know what you're going to be getting.
Yeah, and then there's also the insurance question that comes into play as well if they injure themselves.
Yeah. And not only that, but if the using the window as an example, if that's not installed correctly per the manufacturer's specifications and you have an event such as a hurricane, you know, it's supposed to be fastened a certain way, and if it's not, it can it'll come off the opening, and you could lose your roof because of the pressures.
Oh, okay, if it's not installed properly by someone who's passed the testing and gotten that license. We have another call coming in from Bobby in Naples. Bobby, what would you like to ask?
Yes, I wouldn't know a valid license from a non-valid license. How do you know, how do you scrutinize a license? How do you know if it's up to date? How do you know if it's a correct license? You know what I mean? The average person doesn't know what a contractor's license looks like. And are they responsible to show it to you in person? What's the procedure?
Okay, that is a good question. There's a website called myfloridalicense.com, and there you can check up-to-date computerized information. But that's also a good question for Guy. Do you need to ask for a copy of somebody's license?
Absolutely. A copy of their license, a copy of their insurance. And you can verify, like you were saying, you can verify those licensings online on their website. And that license should have their license number, and it should have an expiration date on it. And it should not be a business tax certificate. It should say on it the Department of Professional Business and Regulation, and it'll have whatever the type of license it is, certified general contractor, building contractor, plumber, et cetera. And it'll have, like I said, when it expires. That number can be verified on the DBPR website or at your local jurisdiction.
Yeah, you can see how confusing this can be for people who don't work in construction every day. They just need to get a little job done. They don't want to end up having an issue. So these things, these licenses and what they look like just seem very foreign to a lot of people. So you say it's a good idea to get a physical copy of it?
Absolutely. You ask that individual for a copy of their license so you can verify before you sign a contract and issue them a check to start work.
Okay, and we have another call coming in from John in Naples. John, what is your question?
Hey, how are you? I'm a licensed electrical contractor, and I've had issues before with small municipalities where you have maybe some unholy collusion between police departments and permitting departments, and police showing up and essentially, you know, maybe one little thing is not correct. In other words, I had my sub permit, and maybe the owner, you know, told me he was going to get the master permit, applied for it, but didn't physically have it in place. Building department tips off the police department. They come put you in handcuffs and say, well, my chief will let it go for a $2,500 fine. And, you know, issues like that. I don't think the police are necessarily the right people to be enforcing this. They don't know what they're looking at. They don't know what the codes are. They don't know what the laws are. You can try to explain it to them and, you know, show them your state license, show them your workers' comp, show them your insurance, and then they're saying, oh, but where's the, you know, the building permit's not hanging in the window, therefore I'm going to extort you for a $2,500 fine. That's a true story. It really happened to me in good old El Portal, Florida. If you're a contractor, don't work there. It's dangerous.
All right. Well, John, thank you for your comment. And that kind of highlights the importance, Guy, of what we're talking about that is going on in Sarasota County with the task force, which meets monthly. That includes the workers' comp people, the police, the sheriff's department, and also the building department. So getting on the same page. You meet monthly there, correct?
We do. We meet every month.
All right. And we have one last call from Raymond in Northport. Raymond, what would you like to say?
First, I'd like to thank Guy for his help. I'm a licensed pool contractor in Sarasota County. And, you know, like one of your earlier callers brought up, there's a lot of issue with price that will drive them to go to an unlicensed contractor. But then on the backside of $4,000 heater fails, and somebody comes out to do, or the manufacturer sends somebody out to do a warranty on it, that warranty may be void because it was installed by an unlicensed contractor. That same heater catches on fire, their insurance company is not going to cover them because they're going to look for any loophole, and once they find out it was installed by an unlicensed contractor, that savings that they had from the initial work done is not going to pan out. It's going to cost them a lot more, especially, you know, if somebody gets injured on a property. One thing to add, the Florida DBPR does have an app that you can put on your phone. Just search whichever Apple or Android engine for Florida DBPR, and you can put it right on your phone and check your licenses through that.
No, that's good to know. I did not know that there was an actual app. I've always just checked the website. Thank you for your comments, Raymond. And he also brings up another good point, especially right now, and we're just about out of time, Guy, but as people are cleaning up from some flooding around here, it's important, again, to make sure that those people that they hire to clean up are have licenses, because sometimes insurance companies could back away from paying off claims.
That's very true. And in the time when the governor declares a state of an emergency, your fine or your unlicensed person goes from a misdemeanor directly to a felony if they get caught during that time.
All right. Well, that's interesting. We're going to have to leave it there, though, because we ran out of time. Thank you to our guest, Sarasota County Deputy Building Official Guy McCauley. Got a lot of phone calls on that. Very much interest. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Our show today was produced by Matthew Smith. Our director is Richard Chin Kui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM, Fort Myers 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.